Dad, Father, we are so mindful of you and the fact that sometimes we can be very reserved in our response to your free, unmerited, undeserved goodness and grace in our lives. Lord, just a little bit, would you unlock our British reserve so that we might respond with genuine joy and love for all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus, that our soul would sing and would soar with the glory that is the Lord Jesus, that his name might be known throughout the earth and acknowledged as Lord and Savior. Thank you for what you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Do sit down for a moment. Hi, guys. Nice to see you. You missed all the best bits. It's good to see you. Christina and Emmy and girls. Hi, Lydia. What we have here is, I decided I was going to bring some money this morning. Unfortunately, it's not real money. You might recognize it from a popular game. Other games are available. But I have brought, I'm throwing my money away. Well, that's part of this, I think. You notice who was quickest to go for the money there.
Well, it was 500.
It was 500, exactly. Gets quite a long way. What I have done, and in a moment, we're not going to do this right now, but in a moment, I have put some money in six envelopes, and I would like six volunteers, please. And if any of the very littlest ones want to do this, they need to do it with an adult, because we just need somebody to oversee what's going on. But we'll need six people, one for each envelope. Sam is going to come and take them. They're not sealed. The idea will be, just for the moment, you can look in your own envelope. You need to know how much money you've got. All right? But no one else is going to know how much money you have. So six volunteers, while we're doing the next little bit, Sam will be finding you. You must look just in your envelope, see how much you've got, know how much you've got, remember how much you've got, and then I'll tell you what to do after that. Okay? So leave the money in the envelope for a moment so no one else sees it. Got that? Good, 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 good. So whilst you're doing that, Sam, whilst you're finding six people, everyone else, whilst this is going on, there's a little pitch coming up on the screen here. Got a couple of questions about this picture. So an interesting little picture there. What do you reckon? Do you reckon that little girl there in the picture, that child, do you think she is giving or receiving? Receiving? You think she's receiving? Anyone think she's giving? One or two? Thank you, Lydia, Alex. Why is she receiving, do you think? Because she's looking up? Because she's a child and the other's an adult, and that's the normal power dynamic going on here, perhaps? Interesting. Okay. Second, there's only two questions. Another question. What about you? Do you find it easier to give or do you find it easier to receive? We're all different, aren't we? And it can be quite hard sometimes to receive from other people. Sometimes it's easier to give. On the other hand, some of us find it quite hard to give because perhaps we feel we haven't got much to offer or that nobody would want what we've got. We're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. Dennis is going to read from my little Kindle in a moment here. But just to put you in the picture so you know what's going on, the Christians in Jerusalem were incredibly poor. Oh, it is on there. I didn't realize I'd put that on there. So it's going to be great. You can read it from there then, Dennis. Wonderful. Yeah, the Christians in Jerusalem were very poor. There was a famine in Jerusalem. People were hungry. Food was very expensive. They didn't have enough money to buy food. Meanwhile, the Christians in Corinth were relatively well off. And Paul had been there, he told them about the need in Jerusalem, and they'd offered to help when he visited. And they started a collection of money, and it's now possibly almost a year later, and Paul is writing to them. They haven't actually sent anything yet to Jerusalem. And this is what Paul is writing about that whole situation, and Dennis is going to read for us. Thanks, Dan. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7.
Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the eagerness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich. And in this matter, I'm giving my advice. It is appropriate for you to begin, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure for you, but is it a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little.
Thank you. Can I have my six volunteers, please? Just come and stand over here for a moment, just so that you can do this. Now, you've got a minute, 1 minute, okay? And what I want you to do, just before the minute starts, is to put the envelope behind your back and take your money out. All right, now you can do one of three things, no talking at all. The first thing you can do is simply stand there with your hands behind your back and stick with what you've got. Only you know how much you've got. The second thing you can do, you can offer money to someone else, as little or as much as you like, to anyone else in the game, all right? The third thing you can do is put your hands out in front of you as though you're begging, in which case you're asking someone to give you some of their money. But you don't have to do anything. You don't have to give if someone's begging. You don't have to give them money. It's entirely up to you. So effectively, you stick with your hands behind your back with what you've got, and you stay like that, or you beg, or you share by giving out some of your money. You can do that as many times as you like during the minute. You may change your, if you've stuck behind your back, you may change your mind and think, oh, I'm going to give some money away, or actually, I could do with some more. It's entirely up to you. Okay? On your marks, get set, go. You were giving money away. And they kept giving money. You must have begged for some, or someone must have thrust it on you. Interesting dynamic, isn't it? Of course, it's just a little exercise, really. We're looking at a passage of Scripture which talks about some people not having very much and others having perhaps more than they need. But you notice that Paul said in the passage that Dennis read for us, it was about a fair balance. It wasn't about people giving things that they didn't have. It was about people giving out of their abundance, their plenty, to people who had even less. Now, of course, the problem is there's an author, a Christian author called Brené Brown, who talks about the fact that the scarcity problem. Somehow we all tend to believe that we haven't got enough, or that we've only just got enough. And that prevents us from being as generous as we might, because in general terms, in terms of money, in terms of riches, we have probably more than we need. Most of us here, if not all of us here. And therefore, we have got some spare. But it's not just about money either. It's about the principle of being a giving person, a generous person, a person with time to spend on other people, for other people. Those of us who are able to listen and to care. It's about being able to do things in that outgoing, generous way. And Paul's point, of course, is that Jesus has done so much for us. He was rich in heaven, but became poor for our sakes, in order to share God's goodness, love, and generosity. We should be people like that, ready to share. So you didn't know how much people had. You didn't know what an average was, even if you had, whether that would have been appropriate to make sure everyone came out with 50. That's debatable, but it just illustrates the fact that the life's resources are shared around. We've got enough. It's just about how we facilitate the sharing of those things. Thank you very much. Perhaps I will not be able to play Monopoly again unless you give the money back to Sam. or that, whatever. Just if you just pop it over there. Thank you very much to my volunteers here. this morning, but I am going to offer you something before we share bread and wine together. There's a reason for this. I have with me a tub of blackberries. Ooh. And just to help hygiene and so on, they're all on a cocktail stick. So if you would like one of these in a moment, you will be offered one. There's absolutely no obligation if you don't want to take it. There's a reason. And I will explain the reason. I'm just going to give these to you, Sam. So you've got those. The reason is this. We're going to listen to quite a short poem in a moment. It'll be on the screen. It's a poem by Seamus Heaney. He's reading it, and there's some visuals to accompany it. The poem is called Blackberry Picking. It's a poem in which Seamus Heaney, the poet, reflects on his childhood and some of the memories that he has of going blackberry picking. And towards the end of the poem, you'll note as you hear this, he recognises that when they tried to keep the blackberries, they tried to store them up, they rotted. He wanted them to last, and they never did. And he was very disappointed about that. The passage we read from Corinthians, from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul quotes from the Old Testament, from the story in Exodus chapter 16, and it's a story you may know, some of you at least will remember the story of God's people having left Egypt. They'd been wonderfully freed from their slavery in Egypt. They were wandering around in the desert, following the directions of God, but they began to grumble a bit. And it's interesting, the story tells in Exodus chapter 16 of how they used to remember the wonderful meals they had back in Egypt. So they started to grumble about the fact they had nothing to eat. And God said, well, I will provide for you. And he provided them meat in the evening, quails. They had to go out and collect this food that just miraculously appeared for them. And then in the morning, they went out and they gathered in sort of bread. They called it manna, which means what is it? Because they went out and said, what's this? What is it? What is it? And they called it manna. But it was a sort of bready kind of thing. And God had given explicit instructions. You need to go out and you need to collect in what you need. No more. And the passage actually says they went out and what they collected, some of them collected more, some collected less, but everyone had enough for their need. Some of them tried to go out and collect too much, but by the following morning, it had rotted and it had gone off because God was trying to teach them to trust him for that provision and not to store it up and hoard it. So Paul uses that as an example of saying, you know, God will provide for us, and then he expects us to provide for one another and to share so that there is a fair balance, a fair exchange of all of his good gifts for all of us. So we're going to watch this poem because it's a lovely little poem. And I think we'll watch the poem and then we're going to pray. And some of our prayers are going to be offering to God what we have and saying, Lord, if you want me to share something, if there's something I can do to not hold on to what you've given to me but to share it, then show me. Should we ask God to let him speak to us about what we have? And it may be that he wants to speak to us in lots of different ways. And as we're doing those prayers, you will have the opportunity to pick up a blackberry, to have a little look at it if you want to, and then just symbolically to use that and to eat it. Yes, you may eat it. Children, there aren't very many children here. Only if mum and dad say it's all right. Only if mum and dad are with you. But to eat it. And in the act of doing that, to say that we offer to God what we have, all that we have, and it's his anyway, and we want his direction on how we should share the wonderful things that he's given, that we might be a generous people. So if you want to do any of that, then take one of those as it goes past, as Sam comes and offers that. That's all just before we come to communion. So when we come to communion, we've prepared ourselves to hear from God and to engage with him through the Lord Jesus in bread and wine as he comes to meet us and come alongside us in that way. Shall we do that? Let's watch the video. And then after that, Sam, if you just start giving those out, and we're going to pray together before we come to communion. This is blackberry picking.
Blackberry picking. Late August, given heavy rain and sun for a full week, the blackberries would ripen. At first, just one.
If you'd like to, as these are coming round, just take one. We're going to pray. And it's entirely up to you what you do with that and when you eat it and so on. Try not to make too much stains around the room as we do that. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are sorry for all the times that we have taken your glorious and far-reaching generosity for granted. We are sorry for all the times we ourselves have not been generous. We're sorry for times when we have put ourselves first. We are sorry for the times we have not even thought about how our actions or lack of action might affect other people. We are sorry for the times we have offended you by our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Lord, you became poor so that we might become rich. In our world of inequality, we pray that you would show us how to share the riches we have with those who are in need. Lord, there are many, even in our own country, who are in great need, and we cannot begin to imagine what it must be like not to have shelter, or to speak the language, or to have somewhere to call home. We pray, Lord, for those who work very long hours for relatively little money, for those who have no security, for those who lack people around them to love, encourage, and support them. Lord, we thank you for those opportunities to give time and resources through food banks and outreach centres and charities. We particularly pray for our own Faversham Food Bank this week, with the arrival of new warehousing facilities and all the administrative work entailed. Pray for Steve especially as he oversees that this week. But for ourselves, each and every one of us, Lord, we pray not only that you would continue to bless us and give us what we need, our daily bread, but that you would help us to share with others, even more generously than we already do. May we, in our living, as an act of worship, be a generous people belonging to a generous God, we pray. In your name. Amen. This is a wonderful thing, isn't it, that we get to do. Because Jesus has invited us, thank you, Sam. Jesus has invited us to take part in this simple thing with bread and wine. It's a bit odd if you're not used to it, but Christians have done this in slightly various ways throughout the history of the Christian church. 2,000 years, we have obeyed the words of Jesus, who invites us to come and share bread together as a symbol of his broken body, as a reminder, as a reenactment of his love given for us on the cross, and then to share in these cups, drinking together wine symbolizing his blood poured out for us and his love. I'm going to use another poem just to invite us to take part in this. It's for all those who love and serve and follow the Lord Jesus. If you're not sure about that, then it may be not for you yet. But it is something that as those who follow Jesus, who are called to live for him, we do gladly because he has invited us. Here's an invitation. This is another poem. George Herbert, some of you will know it. It's a very famous old poem. Love bade me welcome yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, the ungrateful? Ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. Lord, thank you so, so much for simple things like this, which bring us back, without any shadow of a doubt, to what really matters. And we come imperfectly, we come as the person in the poem, feeling we don't deserve it, but you welcome us anyway. With love, you welcome us in. And now as we take and eat, as Jesus encouraged us to do, help us to remember that he died for us, for me, for all people, and be grateful at that generous love. In the name of Jesus. Amen. A couple of deacons are going to come and serve. I have to confess, I'm not sure who I'm looking for. Oh, Kate and Alex. Wonderful. Thank you. Come and serve. We're going to sing as we bring to you the bread. And the grapes are here for any children who want to take part as well. There's some grapes for you there. We're going to sing. And the first thought is to just continue to ask God to show us how we might individually be more generous people. The song will be on the screen. I invite you to join in with the singers if you wish to. And then we're going to stop, pause for a moment, and then distribute the wine and once again share together, because we're one people in our unity in the Lord Jesus.